Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it. Throws to first. It's over. 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
It is Thompson to Clark. It's still mid-January. Brad, you sent me a little thing about pitchers and catchers and spring training. What is our countdown at right now?
Let me see the pick that I sent you here. Okay, just announced today by Major League Baseball, reporting dates for pitchers and catchers, and then full squad first workouts. Because I kept looking for this information, I'm like, where is it? I was looking all week because okay. If the Rams would have lost last night, I would have been really like, where are these dates?
Don't worry. We're going to talk about the Rams here in a second. Okay.
They're rolling there and I'm having a good time. That's all I know. So the Giants, Wednesday, February 12th, that is the pitchers and catchers report date. 5 days later on Monday, September. I don't know. I got up really early to take the oldest to the airport this morning. I have not recovered. That's what happens when you're an old guy. Monday, February 17th is full squad workout day. I'm very much looking forward to those dates because that's when that's when all of the subscriptions that you and I have. Yeah. Apple News Plus, The Athletic. That's when all of those kind of kick in to like a little bit of a higher gear for the rest of the season because we start to get reports and little, nuggets here and there of this guy showed up in this kind of shape. This guy, a couple quotes here and there, some battles. We're going to see some battles in the bullpen. We might see some back end of the rotation battles. I don't know if we're going to see too many battles at first base. We still have some, still some moves the Giants can make between now and February 17th when pitchers and catchers report. And as we know, last year, Blake Snell was signed way after all of that.
Right.
So, anything is possible at this point.
Yeah. So I think it's like 29 days until pitchers and catchers report, and then 33 days or 34 days or whatever until the everyday players, which is exciting. I think, the thing I was thinking about, how do we look at our team and then look at the other three teams in our division? Because I'm dealing with this with the Warriors. Warriors are no longer the creme de la creme of the NBA, obviously. They last won their title in 2022, so it's been three seasons since this will be the third season since then. And you kind of look at it and you go, okay, well, if they're not going to win a title, how do you still follow? How are you entertained? What do you look for? What are some of the things that you're trying to like be open-minded about? And with that team, really, it's like, well, you still have Steph Curry and you want to watch as much Steph Curry as you possibly can because one day he will retire and you'll be really sad. Yeah. And so for the Giants, I was thinking the same thing just today. I was thinking, okay, realistically, they are the fourth most talented team in their own division. Now, it's a great division. Being the fourth most talented team in your division means that you're still possibly fighting for a wild card spot as long, it's a way to keep pace. Like the teams in that division, if you're keeping pace with them, you're doing a pretty good job. And the way that I looked at it was, well, if you are somebody who enjoys young players, looking at the back end of the rotation, like you just said, is something that could be fun. Because you have Jordan Hicks, You have Kyle Harrison. You have Hayden Birdsong. You have Carson Wisenhunt. You have Mason Black. You have guys like that where, you know, if you're into Giants prospects and how, you know, and how different will the prospects be treated in the Buster Posey regime. I sense from some of Posey's quotes that he probably didn't agree with guys like Speckler coming up so early and Grant McCray coming up so early. It sounds like he wants guys to stay in the minors for full seasons to really get those, you know, get those valuable reps and also to get the data on those guys. And the Farhan Hanway was, well, we have all of these things, you know, we have this 40-man roster that we got to play with. So we got to utilize, you know, to our fullest extent, how to play with that number. So that's the thing, you know, I think is we're hoping the Giants compete. Obviously, I don't think anybody believes that they're going to win the division, but if you're playing close to the Diamondbacks and the Padres and the Dodgers, then you're probably doing a pretty good job. But furthermore, I think that is maybe the thing that I'm most excited about is the back end of that rotation because of the young pitcher. I mean, if you were to guess, if you were to just based on odds, one out of those four or five guys will probably have a pretty good season, and trying to figure out who that guy is will be fun. Before we get ahead of ourselves, I did want to talk about the Rams because that is your squad. And on We Want Winners, Rod and myself, we follow the Shanahan coaching tree, the buddies of Shanahan, and McVay and Shanahan have this really interesting sort of frenemies relationship.
Yeah.
And McVay got the Super Bowl win before Shanahan did. Shanahan's gotten to two Super Bowls, but this year I think was really a showcase for McVay and how good of a head coach he is. He took a team that on paper was competitive, but maybe not, a killer in any way. And you guys win the division. And then you have this terrible situation in LA with all the fires. You don't play at home, though, you know, the Rams' home field advantage is not one of the better ones in the NFL.
No. It's usually a 50-50 or a 60-40 not in favor of the Rams, unfortunately. So,
and then you guys go out and beat the Vikings to get to the next round of the playoffs. I thought it was – I actually picked it, and I was rooting for it, and it happened. And, I'm not a Rams hater in any way, but it's only because of you. Like, you know, if the Niners can't get there, I'm like, I'm not rooting against the Rams. It's Brad's favorite team. So I was very happy to see them come away with that victory last night.
And that's the other thing too. It's always hard. I mean, you look at a guy like McVay and it's really hard, to not like him. He's a likable dude. He's a good coach. He's charismatic.
Maybe the tight.
Yeah, shirt, you don't.
Maybe a little. No, yeah, I dig it. He's.
How about the short pants? Somebody said he raided his wife's closet, threw on a pair of her culottes or whatever they're called.
Capri.
But yeah. It was a fun game last night. It was one of those games where it was like, you know, I kept thinking, all right, the Rams are in this situation where they have to leave Los Angeles. So much is going on. So much family and friends of these players, coaches, everybody else that they have to leave behind. You know, they ended up the Bidwell family, the owner of the Cardinals. They ended up loading up a couple of airplanes and then buses to get family members and pets and everybody down to Arizona for a few days to just live there and get kind of acclimated to the area and settle in to really kind of help give the Rams a little bit of a home field advantage. And then the unique situation the Rams brought, I mean, even their mariachi band, I mean, that's a band that plays during the commercial breaks and everything else. I can't remember the Los Mariachis, Los Ramiachis, but they play songs and stuff during the during the breaks to get things going. The stadium was blue. I mean, they had the Rams logo in the middle, everything else. It was just a really cool gesture by the Arizona Cardinals organization to do that. But I kept thinking it could go one way or the other, you know, with all the distractions, the Rams could come out flat as hell and then not be able to come back from that. Or they could come out on fire, put the pedal to the metal and just go nuts. That's what the defense did. The offense, Rams offense in 2024 is, you know, and now it's 2025, but the 2024 season up and down, you know, they have some games where they go lights out 40 points, have some other games where, you know, they score 13, 16 points, still win the ball game because the defense is playing great, great scheming on the part of Chris Shula, defensive coordinator for the Rams. So if he can carry that over to next week and scheme the hell out of the Phillies or the Philadelphia Eagles. We're on a baseball podcast. I said Phillies.
Supposedly, Tom Brady said that a few times during the
evening. Did he really?
Yeah. Called them.
So that's kind of a key, too, because you look at that, and that is a true – I mean, you go into Philadelphia, that is a true home field advantage. So that's something that the Rams are going to have.
The fans might hurt some of the feelings of the players. They're so mean. Yeah,
for sure, man. And you got a young Rams team. So you either – they're either going to be shell-shocked by what's going on in Philly or – they're going to be too young to give a damn. And they're going to play lights out again. So, I'm excited to see. It's going to be fun. It's a, you know, Sunday noon game. So get my chores done. I think we also have Monday off because it's a holiday. So,
Yeah, that'd be cool. Well, good luck to the Rams. Some 49er We Want Winners listeners may not appreciate me rooting for the Rams. But again, you know, I don't have a, there's no hatred for me towards the Rams. Like when I was younger, the Niners got the better of them. When we got a little older in the 2000s, Martz and Warner, and you got the better of us. And now it's kind of 50-50. Like we win in the regular season. You guys have had the better playoff record against us. But now, you know, McVay turned it around this year and beat the Niners twice. So I think it's like a fun, friendly rivalry to me.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
All right. So what are we going to talk about? We're obviously going to talk about Verlander. We're going to talk about Sasaki, or as I am going to call him, No Sasaki. The Giants settled with some players who were ARB eligible. So they don't really have any drama with the arbitration. They made some other moves as well. And then there's this little bit that I have not heard about from anybody really, but Comcast and NBC Sports Bay Area, I think they're bumping NBC Sports Bay Area up a tier, so it may get more expensive for fans to be able to watch the games this year. And then we're going to debut a segment, and we'll save it for the end, called Old Guy Alley. So get ready for Old Guy Alley. All right, let's talk about it. Justin Verlander, the Giants signed Justin Verlander 1 year, $15 million. Justin Verlander could be a part of Old Guy Alley with us, by the way. That is the one.
Good.
That is the one thing about this signing that it's very reminiscent. I know people have said this, but when they signed Verlander, my first thought was Randy Johnson 2009. What were you thinking about the signing?
You know, I didn't think of it so much as that. I looked at it more as a it was coming. It was going to be Verlander. It was going to be Scherzer. We kind of talked about that all offseason.
By the way, I liked the one that they picked.
Yeah, I absolutely. If it was going to be one of the two, I mean, I wouldn't even mind throwing $10 million at Scherzer and saying, hey, here's another guy that we can explore, you know, as a starter. But then you bump out a spot. But,
No, what's interesting about that is this goes to what we were talking about last year, which is you don't really have five starting pitchers. You kind of have like 10 starting pitchers.
Absolutely.
And if you figure if Verlander gives you 20 starts, that's a bonus. That's great. Yeah. And in those other starts, maybe Scherzer gives you 15. You know, you have these young pitchers, like we talked about, you know, Kyle Harrison, I don't know if you want to throw him 180 innings still. He still hasn't really bumped up. You know, Jordan Hicks is going to have some stuff, but it just gives you flexibility. So that would be so funny if we get Verlander and Scherzer, you know, for half of what, you know, what their price was like 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Reunite them from when they were with the Mets, but you know, make it better. Yeah. But yeah, I'm happy with the Verlander signing. I think that's great. It's going to be fantastic to see Cade Upton around the field.
Yeah.
but all joking aside, everything we've heard so far is that he is, kind of put the injuries from last year past him. He started throwing a little bit earlier this season, actually never put the ball down is what he said, because in the past he's put the ball down for like 3 months, 2 months, and then just pick it up and start throwing. Well, he tried to do that last year at 41 years old and it didn't pan out. You and I know that. I mean, you get up, you roll out of bed, you throw a baseball. It's not going to last, right? Yeah. How often can you do that before you
hence old guy Allie, which is coming.
Exactly. And then so the fact that he can be a mentor, I mean, they obviously didn't sign him to say, hey, Verlander, you're going to be a mentor. No, I mean, Verlander pitched himself to Buster Posey and said, I am still going to be a great pitcher. I can still do that. And I want to show you. One interesting tidbit, too, is that he said himself, I wasn't thinking the Giants when free agency hit. I was not thinking the Giants. And then Buster Posey gave me a call. And I think that's pretty telling right there, that Buster Posey is able to reach out and lure somebody. Now, Buster Posey reached out and lured somebody in his age group.
Yeah, exactly. He can do that with the old guys.
Yeah, because Verlander knows him. He was on the field with him. I mean, he saw him, so he knows
Buster's
Posey.
Team beat Verlander's team in the World Series.
Exactly. He knows what it's like to pitch at Oracle. Last time was not fantastic. But, you know, he knows what it's like to pitch there. And
you know,
he knows that.
You know,
Pablo's
going to show up at spring training.
I think there was something going on and Pablo liked it.
Oh, did he?
And it was something during the Verlander presser and then Pablo liked it. And some.
I think I still have I don't have the first two home runs, but I might have the third home run on my camera, like in a file on my computer somewhere, because I did get maybe the second and the third, but I do have one of those home, because I was there at that game. That was one of the World Series games that I've been to.
Yeah.
Just real quick, because Cole has a trade question. Cole joining the chat here. He says, what do you think about a Kyle Harrison trade? Probably not ideal, but we could get a bat like, say, a Suzuki in exchange for him.
I know that's been kicked around a lot in the offseason. That's a tough one, because you have minor league Kyle Harrison, then you have last year Kyle Harrison. Which one is the real Kyle Harrison? Do you want to trade him before you find that out? Well, obviously, I mean, if you trade him too early and you can get a guy like Seiya Suzuki, but I would say it's got to be somebody who's controllable. I don't know if you trade Kyle Harrison for somebody that's going to have a year or two with the Giants and that's it. I think it's going to have to be for some younger players, younger prospects. I like the idea of it because again, the Giants have so much in the minor league system, but then again, if you do trade him away and you end up, with a Zach Wheeler situation, do we want to have another Zach Wheeler situation? So that's the hard part. I would rather ride with Kyle Harrison this season to see what you have. If you still have the same Kyle Harrison, maybe a little bit better, and you can still get something for him at the end of the season, I say yes. If you get a lights out Kyle Harrison, you got to keep her for a long time. So, that's where I go with that.
Yeah, that's really the guess of any. My guess is they believe that they have something in Harrison. And right. The velocity thing is something that they have to think about and why his velocity is so, fluctuates so often. But this is a pitcher's park, and you know, they probably believe that he can do some dynamic stuff and that he's a future number two, right? You have this righty lefty scenario with Logan Webb and Kyle Harrison, best case scenario. I don't know if Suzuki is enough for that. I don't know what Suzuki would actually do in this park. You know, it's not like Wrigley is great to hit at either, but you know, it right. depends, I guess. It depends on the wind. But yeah, I would stick with him. I would stick with
him. Yeah, I want to look at Suzuki's control because I'm just curious too. I remember he signed, you know, just
and his wife was said that she was scared of being in San Francisco. Remember?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, you've got that to deal with. I mean, obviously in a trade situation, he really doesn't have much say in it, but I mean, $19 million this year, $19 million 2026, and he turns 31 and then he's an unrestricted free agent. And I know, Cole wasn't necessarily saying just, you know,
right, Suzuki.
A player like him.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I would say a younger player with more control, 3-4 years maybe.
Yeah, then you start thinking about it. Also, shout out to Philip. Philip says Buster's actually younger than Verlander.
Yeah, I know. And I said in the age range, in that range of old guy wisdom.
Does
like,
Buster,
the old guy's got the wisdom.
Does Buster look like an old guy to you?
He's getting there. He's
a little
getting,
bit.
He's getting. I mean, some gray, man.
Like if you took away the grays, he doesn't look that dissimilar to when he was playing. But I'm talking about the young 30s Buster, not the 23-year-old Buster that we got.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we haven't seen him jump out of the crouch. So,
oh my God, can you imagine what his knees might feel like right now,
or sound like?
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
So it sounds like Justin Verlander will fit, you know, probably in that three spot behind Robbie Ray and behind Logan Webb.
That's a good top three of the rotation. If Verlander's healthy.
Yeah, but those are two older guys that you're banking on. And like we said, you know, you're not getting 30 starts out of Robbie Ray and Justin Verlander. And if you get close, then it's like bonus. Like you're just lucky this season.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's, I wanted to look at Verlander's numbers because he had like a crazy renaissance in 2018 and 2019. Like he threw some ridiculous numbers on the board. He had 300 strikeouts in 2019. That was only 5 years ago. His strikeouts are way down, by the way. So I don't think he's the same kind of pitcher. He gives up a little bit more contact these days. But, like, you know, you just think about it. You're like, yeah, if Verlander's been around for so long, you know, we kind of make fun of that 2012 season where he was the ace of the Tigers. Just putting up ridiculous numbers. And then, you know, he had a couple of years, you go to 14 and he really struggled, you know, he had a 4.54 ERA. And then, you know, he starts pitching okay, but he's a little hurt. And then that 2018 season, in 2017, he's on Detroit and he makes 28 starts and he's got like a 3.82 ERA. So it's like almost like, oh yeah, you know, he's kind of in the twilight of his career. Then he gets traded to the Astros. Down the stretch, 5 starts, 1.06 ERA.
Crazy.
2018, 2.52 ERA. 2019, wins the Cy Young. 21 wins and a 2.58 ERA. And then 2022, he's 18-4 with a 1.75 ERA. ERA, and he's like 39 years old at this point. Now the strikeouts aren't as gaudy, but you know, it's still over one an inning. And then from there, signs with the Mets. He's only there for 16 starts, gets traded back to the Astros. He's got 11 starts, but he's still pitching pretty good baseball. You know, obviously a little bit different style of pitcher. And then last year, kind of the wheels fell off for him. So here's the question, which is, have the wheels fallen off, or is he going to be able to dial it back to the 2023 version of Justin Verlander?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the wheels have fallen off. He had the shoulder injury last year. He had the neck injury as well. He said he was able to fix the neck injury, and the shoulder injury, he said, was his fault because, again, he picked up the ball. You know, he gave himself a couple of months off after the season ended and picked up the ball and then started throwing, had shoulder troubles to begin the season last year. So I honestly don't think that the wheels have fallen off. I think, but are we going to see him at the levels of, you know, the end of the Astros run there? What would you say? 21, 22. When was the injury? His big injury where he didn't pitch a whole lot.
So he had in 2023, he had 27 starts. Last year he had 17 starts. You got to go back to 2015 when he only had 20 starts.
Oh, 2020 is when he got hurt, missed all of 21. That was it.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
Yeah, right.
You're right.
I don't think you're going to see the 22 Verlander. I think you're going to see closer to the 23 Verlander, which is a good Verlander and a good number three for the Giants as well. Yeah. Because, and again, he's hitting 92 on the gun right now, and we're talking January. And he said that's great for him because he hasn't put the ball down. But he said, now I need to figure out how to limit myself between now and the beginning of the season. So you'll see an uptick. I mean, if he's throwing... I mean, he was hitting 97 last year at the end of the year. So if he's hitting 96, 97 and has his breaking stuff working, I think you're going to see a very good Justin Verlander. I think you're going to see probably, and again, ERA is so antiquated, but probably like a 3.5, 3.6, well, which this, I would take as a number three.
This ballpark should help him, right?
Yeah,
theoretically. For sure.
Defense, Giants defense should help him
a little bit for sure. Yeah. Just back to Phillip's comment about Buster. You know who else is younger than Justin Verlander? Timothy Leroy Linton.
Oh man, I was going to say everybody in the majors, but Timothy Leroy Linton, man.
You know, Tim's 40.
40?
Isn't that crazy?
Golly, he could still be throwing, man. Nah, I can't. That frame was not built for throwing for many, many years. So we got the prime.
There are few athletes who I hold in like the highest, you know, the highest of the highs when it comes to just like, I was marvel, like just, you know, we named this podcast after Will Clark and Robbie Thompson, because those were our favorite players when we were growing up. But like guys like Bonds, obviously that's an easy one. You know, some would talk about the Warriors, Steph Curry, that's an easy one. But like Lincecum, for that short time frame, like that dude should never have to buy a drink for himself the second he crosses into the Bay Area. Like,
well, the key is though, he has to show up.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I know he's gone through some
tough
times with, you know, his significant other, you know, getting ill, and Pat, like that's like crazy, you know, unfortunate. Yeah.
And, but with Buster in charge,
maybe
there's a good chance. Yeah, we're going to see him back. I bet. We already know we're going to see Bumgarner back because Bumgarner's already reached out to Buster and said, I want to do something.
Yeah.
So how many other guys are going to reach out? Or he's one of those guys I think Buster's going to have to reach out and say, come on back for a little bit. Come, you know, show up at spring training. Just talk, you know, just, you know, see what it's all about and everything else. I was going to say, I got to go back and see if I can find some full games, 2008, 2009, Tim Lincecum. Because you got to remember, you know, being a huge Giants fan and watching as many games as I can, you got to remember in 2008, at the end of the season. Actually, let's go 2009. During the 2009 season, I had a three-year-old and a one-year-old.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So I was trying to watch as much baseball as I could, but it, you know, a lot of the eight and nine were blurs. 2010, you know, ingrained in my mind because so many good things were happening that year. But eight and nine, I mean, I remember sitting at work, like, just trying to steal time to watch a Giants game.
Yeah.
Sorry, boss, but that's
yeah. No, I'm with you.
Priorities.
This is, you know, I always joke about when your kids are young, you don't connect dates and stuff as much as you did when you were young, because like that time frame just goes by so fast. And then when they get older, it's a lot easier to remember stuff. But if they did, like, now this is we're gonna put this challenge out to Buster doesn't even know we're giving him this challenge. Obviously, you know, mentally, emotionally, all of those things, you know, whatever Lincecum feels is, you know, you want to put his thoughts and his care first and foremost. But Tim Lincecum Day, if they were to ever do Tim Lincecum Day, that'd be the biggest crowd that they have all year long. And the one where fans would be like, what the hell? How come I couldn't buy a ticket at the last minute to Tim Lincecum Day? That would be like, that's the thing. If Buster can do that, then maybe we forgive missing out on Roky Sasaki and all these other guys.
That's gonna be a really difficult one, because I don't know if he's gonna want to accept that. Yeah,
he doesn't like that. He doesn't seem like he likes that, like, attention and fanfare.
No, he liked to just kind of, you know, when his career was over, he liked to just kind of. I mean, we didn't even know he was married. I mean, that's how.
Well, was he even married? I wasn't sure if he was married or not. Was he married? Okay, married. So they were married. Wow.
Yeah. So to have that happen and fans don't even know, and the media doesn't even know, and everything else, he's done, you know, he's done his job of kind of going away like he wanted to. So,
yeah. Love that guy. Lincecum, man. So glad that he pitched for us and not anybody else.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Roky Sasaki thing, I was kind of making a joke about it, but, you know, it did hurt my feelings a little bit when the Giants were not in the top three of the race for Roky Sasaki. It sounds like it's either the Dodgers or the Padres or the Blue Jays of all teams. He's going to the Dodgers. Why are we even dealing with this facade? I know you think that the Padres have a shot, but this is
I think they've got a great shot. I think they have a better shot than the Dodgers.
Okay, tell me.
Because he's a Yu Darvish guy, right? That's his guy. So if he can pitch in the same rotation as Yu Darvish, because Yu Darvish doesn't have many years left. So, if he can grasp that and grab on. That's why I think he's going to San Diego. And that ballpark, again, beneficial ballpark to him. Weather, San Diego weather is fantastic. And, you know, a lot of culture, a lot of different things, you know, going on in San Diego. So I think, and again, also it's a competing ball club that is not afraid to spend money. And that could have been it with us. But then why did he nix the Mets? Why did he nix the Yankees?
Yeah.
Because those are also ball clubs that are not afraid to spend money.
Yeah.
And why the Toronto Blue Jays? I mean, I don't get because it's not about the money. You can't spend more than what, $7 million. So it's not like they're battling over money. The Blue Jays must just have some. They must have some masterminds in the marketing department to sell their club. Because if you've got Shohei possibly going there, if you've got Roky Sasaki possibly going there, and you've got Corbin Burns possibly going, I mean, you got all these.
And poor Vlady Guerrero's like, man, they're lowballing the hell out of me.
They're lowballing the hell out of me, and I want out.
Yeah.
So that could be another. I mean, that could drive him away from Toronto. Yeah. Is Toronto just the third name to throw things on, so when he does go to the Dodgers, everybody goes, oh, it was legit. I mean, if he goes to the Dodgers, I got a whole thing. But I'm gonna say
okay. So Yu Darvish is his guy.
Yeah.
But then what happens in 4 years when you is 42 years old and Buster Posey talks him into signing with the Giants?
Then he says, I only sign if you could trade for Sasaki. Right? I mean, no. But again, I think if he goes to Los Angeles, again, you're just another face in the crowd. Mm-hmm. So if you're in San Diego, you establish yourself. And then when you is gone, the crowd already loves you. The fans already love you. You've established yourself as like, and then you're the guy, then you're the ace in that staff. Cause what is Sasaki? 23, 22. So he could be there for a very long time. So do you want to go to Los Angeles and in 5-6 years when you become, you know, close to being a free agent, then Mookie Betts is in his 40s, Freddie Freeman's in his 40s, Clayton Kershaw is, you know, signing up for AARP, and Shohei, who knows what his arm's going to be like in 5 or 6 years. So, I don't know, man. They've got a lot of youth. You got Jackson Merrill. Apparently he was in on the pitch, when Sasaki went to San Diego this weekend. So you're pitching Jackson Merrill as the rookie of the year. And this guy's, you know, and the rest of the minor league system, and Fernando Tatis, Machado, he's not going to be around much longer. Still, I you know, San Diego's got a good team. So I could see him going there. I would even give them at this point right now, I'd give them like a 55% chance to sign him.
All right. By the way, did you see the Justin Verlander jersey number like drama? Crook was like, nope, can't give him Brandon Crawford's number. Just kidding.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not retired. I mean, maybe. I get it, but it's not retired. If you're going to give it to Andrew Haney, right? I mean, if the Giants signed Andrew Haney and he wore number 35 and they were like, oh, no, you're not going to do that. Verlander's a Hall of Famer, right? 3-time Cy Young Award winner, MVP. Yeah, that's you can do that for a year. I mean, it's 1 year.
So very popular Giants follow on Twitter. I know Brad's a retired Twitter guy, but GG Giants, Dave. He writes for the Giants on SF Gate, but he had tweeted, he was almost like, come on, Crook. You know, they even, when Jeff Kent left, they gave his number to Ruben Rivera. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
Ruben Rivera. Blast from the past. Yeah,
I understand from Crook's perspective that there are some special guys, and B-Craw was one of those special guys, right? I mean, he played his entire career except for 1 year to figure out if he still had anything left. And I'm sure it was a lot of it was a pride thing, but
yeah,
you know,
I'm just looking at Ruben Rivera's numbers. He didn't have anything left when they came to us. No,
except for the great John Miller call on the base running and all that.
Oh, was that him?
But yeah, I think it was Ruben Rivera.
That's the worst base running for the worst team.
All right, so the ARB stuff that we had talked about. Giants settled with Lamont Wade, Tyler Rogers, and Camilo Duvall. So Wade will earn $5 million, while Duvall will make $4.5 million, and Tyler Rogers will make $5.3 million. So they're, you know, that their bullpen, you know, two out of their, I guess, top four, if you consider Ryan Walker and Tyler's brother, you know, making up there upwards of $4.5 million and $5 million. So I do wonder, though, you know, when you get the numbers up there a little bit, you kind of wonder if they are trade bait or not. There's been a lot of talk about whether or not Duvall is trade bait, and Buster has kind of gone out and said, no, you know, he's going to be a big thing. You know, he's going to be a big part of our bullpen, and we believe in him. But those numbers, you know, Tyler Rogers makes more money than Lamont Wade, who's an everyday player. Kind of interesting that from the reliever perspective. But Tyler Rogers is he's been good. He's been a very good Giant as well. So,
yeah. And looking, I just want to look at let's see, highest paid relievers. Because when you said the other day he was making closer money, Duvall, I was like, yeah, but that's kind of low end closer.
Yeah. It's so, without so, being afraid, but it's still closer money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Without being afraid. Because you look at like Edwin Diaz, $19 million. Josh Hader, $19 million. Taiwan Walker, $18 million.
That's amazing.
Right? Raisel Iglesias, $16 million. I get that. Ryan Pressly, $14 million. I get that. Jordan Hicks, they got Jordan Hicks on the list. 12.5. He's going to be more of a starter this year. But yeah, there's Taylor Rogers at number 7. And then you got, not even in the top 20, you got Tyler. Either way, you got $15 million for 3 guys. That's how you round out a roster nicely, but you got to go get those other guys. I saw Randall Grichuk as a name being tossed around as an outfielder for the Giants. Possibly a platoon with Yaz. Mm-hmm. I think Grichuk hit 300 last year in like 100 games and hit 12 home runs, something like that. So, I mean, that's a decent enough bat, but again, how much are you going to spend? Because if you can round out your roster, but you can have really good starting pitching for the prices that the Giants are paying right now and an excellent bullpen, which they do back into the bullpen. If you're talking Tyler, and then you're talking Camilo and then Ryan Walker, that's a good 4 pitchers in the back end of the Giants bullpen that aren't costing you a ton of money. I mean, because when you look at, if you're going to pay Edwin Diaz almost $20 million, but between 4 guys, you're not even, you're under $20 million. That's great. That's how you round out a team. So I'm still kind of curious. There are still a lot of names out there that can finish off this roster. Don't forget, we got Tom Murphy is back this year.
and they picked up the great, and I say the great, Sam Huff off of waivers from the Rangers, which allowed them to DFA Blake Sable, who they kept around for 2 years, and Buster's like, nope, this dude's just not a catcher. Like, what are you doing?
That's the tough one, because like I told you when that happened, I said, I guess they couldn't find at least a B-minus position for him. He's not even, because if you're going to have a guy like that, if you're going to have a utility guy, he's got to at least be a B-minus at a position, right?
I mean, yeah.
Do you agree? You can't throw him out there. He can't be a C, C minus everywhere.
Bad catcher, bad outfielder.
Yeah, and kind of hit.
Yeah.
I mean, if he gets 150 games in the majors, right, he can be a decent enough hitter. But at that point, you got to be an A-minus glove somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
First base, they can use him for first base.
Hit, he could hit 240 with 15 jacks or whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Now, this was a pretty fun thing that the promotional schedule came out. Do you know?
Oh,
we are getting a Barry Bonds bobblehead, or but a lot of people who go to Giants games this year, there's going to be a Barry Bonds bobblehead. Excellent. I wonder when's the last time that the Giants put out a Barry Bonds bobblehead. It's probably been a long time.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of, we got to start looking at our tickets here pretty soon. We're going to be going to some ball games this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Barry Bonds bobblehead. There's, I want to see, which games are we going to? I don't even remember the dates, man. I got to figure this out. 17th, 18th of June.
Mm-hmm.
We got Italian Heritage Night and then Pixar Night. So those are the two nights that we got going. So I got to start looking at buying those tickets. So, but yeah, I haven't even looked at the full promotional schedule. So Barry Bonds,
well, it literally just came out today, I think.
Wow. Okay.
So Barry Bonds bobblehead is one of the they only highlighted like 3 big ones, or Alex Pavlovich is one. There's a Steph Curry Giants bobblehead, and then there's a Jung Hoo Lee hoodie jersey.
Oh.
So that's going to be an interesting, I mean, it's got like a
Jung Hoo Lee Hoodie jersey.
Yeah, Alex. Go to Alex Pavlovich's Twitter if you want to check that out. But
nice.
I'm just glad that they're doing stuff with Barry, man. Like, you know, it's been a long enough time where they don't have to pretend that he didn't play for the team, and he's been back. And he's been in attendance, and they, you know, Kruk and Kipe are always talking about him on the broadcast. So that's good.
That's the hard part. And now with Buster in charge, I think you're going to see definitely some more of that type of stuff, which is good.
Yeah, for sure. And then I already mentioned the Comcast thing with they're putting the NBC Sports Bay Area into like an upper tier. So I think it's going to be a little more expensive, which probably means my Hulu subscription is going to go up as well, which is not cool.
Well, we have Hulu and one of the other, I can't remember the name of the other service. It is Fubo TV.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, those two have merged. So we're probably going to get some more channels because I also have Hulu Live. So I think we're going to get some more channels. I would assume our price is going to go up. And I left DirecTV because the price was getting too high. And I think we're starting
to get back. DirecTV is actually selling a streaming bundle of just sports channels now.
Yeah, I've seen that. I still don't think I would go back to them. They were a mess. I'm enjoying Hulu. I don't watch that much TV. That's the problem. A lot of the stuff that I watch is like, I mean, right now I'm watching Dark Matter on Apple TV Plus. So Hulu, I watch. I mean, tonight we'll probably watch Hell's Kitchen.
We're watching The Good Place on Netflix.
There you go.
And then we're watching Shrinking on Apple TV.
Yeah.
Season 2.
There's a lot of choices out there.
We're not watching anything that's like live other than sports, obviously. We're watching
I wouldn't. Yeah, exactly. And I don't even think I'd have Hulu Live TV if it weren't for Giants baseball.
Yeah, that's
if I couldn't
that's
get
really
Giants baseball. I would have Hulu Live TV during the off season. But if I could get the Giants on the MLB app or MLB.TV or something like that, I would cancel my service during the season and just watch that.
Sure. Yeah, totally. All right. I think it's time for the debut of Old Guy Alley. All right.
Oh, sweet
Alley. So you had sent me something the other day about a social media account that you had access to for years and years and years. And you're just like, you know what? Screw this. I don't need this anymore.
Yeah. So
I'll let you go first. I came up with one as well. Here's really why I wanted to do this. When I turned 40, which is now a little while ago, I had this thought, like, you know, people who have already done this before, who have already turned 40, they need to give me some tricks. How do you age gracefully? How do you age confidently without constantly worrying about, you know, all the stuff that people worry about when you get older? And so when you sent me the thing that you sent me, I was like, you know what? There might be people like us who, like, are worried about the same things, and maybe we could give them a little bit of information that will, you know, cause them to be less anxious about this stuff. But that's why I thought it would be fun to do this. We may not do it every week. We may wait until we have like a good story or whatever. But
we're old guys. There's going to be some stuff that comes up that we're pissed off about. It's happening more and more now.
The fact that you have two teenage daughters is like that, you know,
that pisses me off.
you talked about the gray hairs earlier, like, you rightfully have those. You have earned those because of your fatherly situation. So anyways, go ahead with your old guy moment here.
Yeah. So people are going to say, oh, it's political. It's this and that. It's not political. I just, you know what? I'm turning 52 this year. When the country, and again, it's not political, but the country has decided to hand over the United States to three or four of the richest people on earth, right?
Yeah.
So if they're going to make decisions on their platform of how they're going to do business, I'm just going to leave because I don't need that nonsense anymore. I'm 50 something. I don't give a crap what everybody else is doing every second of the day. I got my own. You know what I did on Sunday morning? I woke up, I had coffee, and I did a crossword puzzle because I felt like doing that. I did have to look up some answers, even on the easy. I do the easy one on the Apple News Plus. I even had to look up like five or six, but I digress. So with Facebook, I decided I'd had it since 2005.
Yeah.
Right. 20 years. I technically got off of it in 2019. It was like November. I didn't even know. We didn't know the pandemic was coming, but
right,
I left
right,
it.
Right.
I left it, but I stayed on for like three private groups. One of them being when we had this one.
Yeah.
Right? We had a Thompson DeClark on there. And the other one, one of the other ones was a Beatles group. There's a Beatles memorabilia collectors group that I love. The people on there are awesome. They're always showing off cool stuff they found on the weekends at different shops and stuff. But I said, you know, is it worth it to stick on that platform just for that? I don't want to be just another number to these guys.
Right.
I live in Nevada. We're very like, you know, we do things a little bit differently here. Mm-hmm. We don't like to be told what to do. So I decided I'm done with that. I left Twitter in what was that? August of last mm-hmm. year, maybe August, September. I think it was August of last year. I think I have Blue Sky. I like that for now, but you know what? That's going to change. And in a year or so, I'm not going to like that either
because
right. I'm going to be tired of it. Instagram, I've got that because the kids have it and that's fun when we go on vacation. A lot of cool Disney stuff on there. We like the Disney mm-hmm. stuff. So there's always some fun stuff on there. But yeah, that's my old man advice is pretty much as you get older, less and less screen time. Less and less of the social media because then you end up looking at other people's comments. And then because when you're at work, yeah, when I'm at work and I'm doing my job, right? And I'm doing my job and somebody tells me I need this faster than you could do it for this person. This person doesn't matter. I went to, you know what? I don't give a crap what that person has to say. I know my job. I'm going to do my job. Mm-hmm. So then when I look at Facebook or I look at the social media stuff and I see people's comments and then I start reading them and I go, you know what? I don't care what they have to say because it's not me and it's not my opinion. My opinion's my opinion. So anyways, old man, that's what I got.
The Facebook thing is interesting because you have chosen to essentially also disconnect from friends and family at the same time.
I did that in 2019. I actually took everybody off of there. I announced to them, my friends and family, I said, look, you got my phone number.
Yeah.
You can call me. You know where I live. If there's something. Yeah, my mom still does it. We're talking almost 6 years later. My mom goes, the other day, 5 days ago. Did you see what so-and-so put on Facebook? I don't know how many times I got to tell you. I'm not on Facebook. I haven't been on Facebook in almost 6 years. So no, I don't know what that person's doing. And I probably don't care. And I hate to say it, but I probably don't care. So,
all right. My old guy Ally moment, you know, less sort of advice about, you know, how to handle screens and stuff.
Less grumpy.
No, just more about like the reality of what happens when you get older. So I've mentioned here before that both of my knees are arthritic. At some point, knee replacement on both of them is probably in the future. I'm trying to keep that like so that I can stay active. I'm trying to push that off as long as possible. So my cousins who are all, I think they're in their early 40s. They like to shoot hoop and they like to get the cousins together. There's actually one cousin who's a little bit older than me who still plays. But my son is 24. JJ's 24. So he wants to get out there. And I'm like, okay, like how many more times am I going to have opportunity to play basketball with my son? So I'll go out there knowing that I'm going to play for an hour and a half and I'm going to pay for it for like a week. Like, yeah, yeah. So if you do the ratio of like, an hour and a half of joy for a week of pain. Like, that risk reward is not great, right? Like, it's not a great, but you know, I do it because I want to get out there and hang out with my kid.
See, that's social. That you got social media, right, and then you got social. Get for rid of the social media, go to the social. That's what
for sure. But you know, Facebook scrolling on my phone does not hurt my knees as much as trying to play basketball.
That's true.
So if I just, you know, I'm just gonna play and my knees are gonna hurt, so be it. The court was a little damp. There was a little bit of it was early in the morning, and there was a little bit of dampness to the court. I make a move with the basketball. Now, I think everybody who is older understands the idea of your brain is still 100% there, and you're probably way smarter than you were when you were actually a better athlete. So you're thinking like even ahead of you when you were 20. So something happens, and I'm like, oh, if I could get my body to do this, this, and this, I'm going to be gold, right?
Yeah.
So my body only does this, and the this and this ended up in me slipping and falling. Now, I know how to fall. I wasn't going to eat it on my face or anything. So I kind of tucked my shoulder, rolled over, hopped back up in like one fell swoop. Like I didn't even stay on the ground. I kind of rolled over, was back on my feet. I was like, I'm good. And so what happens is I'm just like, oh, okay. It didn't really bother me. I'm fine. Like the shoulder falling on the shoulder, hitting the ground, totally fine. I'm good. And then 2 days later happened. I woke up, the behind my shoulder was hurt, my neck super stiff, and I'm going to count, that was 8 days ago. I am still not 100% better with my neck and my shoulder. So, the knees, I can live with the knees because I've had bad knees for a long time now.
Yeah.
But that little slip, which if you're 25 and that happens, like you probably don't even feel it. Maybe you feel it a little bit.
Yeah, feel it that
done.
Night.
Yeah, and then you're done.
Throw a little ice on it, and the next day you're like, woohoo, I'm great.
But my reality was a massage gun basically every day on my back and on my shoulders just to feel almost decent. And it was the best was today. I feel better today, but yeah, that's what happens, you know, when you get old is you think you can still do things and then your body goes, hold on, I'm going to show you, it's going to be a little bit painful, but I'm going to show you why you thinking that you can actually do this, why this is a bad idea, and you tumble and then you pay for it for like a whole week. So
that's I was just telling Denise yesterday, my wife, I said, okay, retire in less than 6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I love to do HIIT. I love to do cardio kickboxing. I love to do the bike for like 45 minutes, all of that stuff. But when I retire, I don't know if I can still do it. So I'm going to do it now while I can. I've taken up paddle boarding the last year.
Oh, there you go.
That, and we're right next to Tahoe, so I can go out there and do that. If you're going to paddleboard, this is my public service announcement. Wear a life jacket for we lose like two or three people in the lake every summer.
Oh man.
Maybe even more, because if you fall, you think you're great, even you got the strap on your leg.
Right? Yeah.
You think you're fine if you fall into the freezing cold water of Lake Tahoe and you're too far. Once you, and especially if you're not wearing a strap on your leg, if you fall and that board gets away from you, you have no way to get to that board. So wear a life jacket.
Yeah.
I even have like a little beacon in mine that you can hit, and it puts color in the water and stuff.
Oh, wow. Okay. So the people,
not that I'll ever need that. Yeah. I don't go out that far or anything like that. But, you know, but I've got that. I always carry a beer. And I always carry in my waterproof bag. I got a beer, and I've always got a little Bluetooth speaker with my phone thrown in the waterproof bag as well.
There you go.
But I'm trying to find more things between now and then to like get better. I should have saved this for the next segment. I don't know why I didn't. But yeah, same thing. I'm trying to find more things that I can do over the next few years to get the heart rate up, but not feel like I just like rode a horse for 2 hours or something, because I rode the bike today and I got off and I was like 45 minutes and I feel like I'm going to die. But I did get up at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, you did. You had a long one. And this goes back to being a dad of teenagers and having, you know, you have to wake up at 3:30 in the morning to take your kid.
Yeah. Just gotta fly. Gotta get to the airport. We were gonna have her drive. We said, hey, you could drive and park your car. We'll go pick it up later. And go, nah, we want to see her off.
Yeah. All right. That is it. First installment of Old Guy Alley there. Like we said, the spring training will start in about a month. And once we get to spring training, we'll more than likely be back every week. But until then, we're going to play by ear. If there's some news happening, we will record as soon as we can. But if it's kind of dormant, you know, which it's been until the Justin Verlander signing, then we may skip a week here. But we'll try not to go too long without a show, because we don't want to go too dormant. So, you know, we want winners. Rod and I are going to sort of do the same thing as the 49ers in their off season, but you know, the playoffs are kind of fun and the Niners are going to be doing stuff with coaches. And then for the death lineup, Brian and I are suffering through this Warrior season, but we're going to try and get back to our weekly schedule. So there will still be podcasts in this feed. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, because if you subscribe, we can grow those numbers. And our goal is to get to 500 this year, where I kind of, you know, I was like, we'll just put these shows up and I won't worry about it. But now I'm like, okay, we're close. Let's set a goal. Let's try and get to 500. So that's my goal, is to get to 500 on this channel. Subscribe also. If you are listening on audio, make sure you hit that subscribe button. And if you can shoot us a little 5-star rating, that would be awesome on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you're listening. But otherwise, we will see you at some point in the very near future, depending on what happens in Giants baseball. So for Brad, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.